Government of Urban Affairs, I'll come to order. Start off with House Bill, hearing on House Bill 3106. Mr. Steve?
Not here.
Doc, take your part.
I'm Ron Cease. I'm a member and former chairman of the Portland Area Boundary Commission, and I'd like to speak in favor of House Bill 3106 and represent the, I believe, the three boundary commissions in terms of this particular bill. We would designate this bill essentially as one that would provide some additional control over the question of land development. At this point, when one of the boundary commissions considers an annexation to a city or a district, quite frequently we are faced with a situation where we're closing the barn door after the horse is already out. There are several major provisions to this bill. One of these would give the Boundary Commission authority to review the addition of functions to some districts after the districts are already incorporated. Let me give you an example of the problem here. We have some authority to control the establishment of new county service districts. However, there may be a proposal come before the commission which says we want a county service district for purposes of street lighting. We have a hearing and it's established. Subsequent to that, that county service area can add to its functions through the operation of the county, sewage, parks and recreation, and other functions. We're faced then with a situation where a county service district is created for street lighting but can add all these other functions without review. There's no question that the reason that the boundary commissions were given some authority over county service districts is that they do conflict at certain points with cities and annexations to cities. So it seems clearly to us that if we're going to control the relationship between county service districts and cities, we should have some authority over the addition of additional functions added to these districts. There are other districts where the situation is similar, but this, I think, is perhaps the best example. A second major feature of this act would give the Boundary Commissions some review over the extension of water and sewer mains to cities and to districts. The way this would work, at the point that the DEQ, for example, in sewer lines, and the State Health Division in terms of water lines, once they've gotten their review done, they would then ask the Boundary Commission. The Boundary Commission would be given 60 days to determine whether, in fact, the main, the water or sewer main, should be extended. Now, what's the reason for this? Why is this bill asking authority for the Boundary Commission in this area? In many cases, we are asked to review an annexation to a city where the city has already extended sewer and water mains so that the question of development is already decided. I think perhaps a good example would be Charbonneau, which many people have been very upset about. In that particular case, water and sewers were not given, as far as I understand it, to the development prior to the annexation. But it was clear that the water and sewer question was not altogether decided prior to the annexation. But it seemed pretty clear to the Boundary Commission at the time we were reviewing the proposal that if we did not okay it, the city would extend water and sewer services to the area on an extraterritorial basis. So it simply meant that by the time the Boundary Commission reviewed it, it was essentially a question of, do you have a developed area inside the city or do you leave it outside? What we're saying is it would be, we think, helpful in terms of the development question if there could be some control over the development before, in fact, is annexed. So this is what this would do. It would be, I think, a fairly major extension to the Commission's authority, but it would provide, I think, a very meaningful addition to the whole question of annexation and clearly related annexation to development. I would think if the experience of the Portland Boundary Commission is any indication, I'm not sure this applies in equal force to the other two, the major decisions that we are facing in the Portland area in terms of the board these days are development questions. Most of the major decisions that come to us concern the whole area of land development and the question of conflicts, for example, between the city and the county, or whether the area should be developed by county zoning or city zoning, and issues of this kind. So that I would think in summary then of this bill, the major provisions clearly relate to land development and would give the boundary commissions some authority here, more extensive power to relate land development to its power to incorporate units and to to control annexation for cities and districts.
Are there questions?
I noticed that my cohort over in the House opposed this bill. What was the
cohort opposed?
Aye.
Who were your cohorts?
Representative Otto and Representative Higgins. And 25 others.
A lot of cohorts going on.
What was the basis of their opposition?
Let me make one comment to that, Senator. I was not involved. This is, as a matter of fact, the first time I've been down in the Senate, the legislature this whole session. Maybe perhaps Don Carlson, staff member, can respond to that. But as I understand, the opposition of Representative Otto was essentially on the question of the control over sewer and water mains extraterritorial to cities, that is, giving the boundary commission the power to control the extensions outside to cities. He had no objection to using this power in terms of the districts. And but he did have it in terms of the cities and felt that it would be a reduction in the power of cities to extraterritorially extend water and sewer mains if the boundary commission would give him some authority over it. As far as I know, in terms of what I heard, that was the main objection that he had and didn't really object to the rest of it. But I can't really add any more on that particular item.
Further questions, Dr. Keith? Ron, does this address itself to the problem of where we have pocket suburbanized area where there are sewers, and yet we'll have maybe even a less urbanized area surrounding it that does have sewers, or they're funded plans and so forth.
Yeah, in a sense it does, Keith, except that where sewer and water mains are already in or already been approved, there wouldn't be anything anybody could do about those. If you were talking about new extensions, either of existing lines or of lines from cities and districts, that is, these would be city and district lines, but outside their boundaries, that is, clearly on an extraterritorial basis, this bill would provide some control over that. Now, obviously, the situation you'd have would be in each case that you'd be dealing with, there would be differences, that in some cases, the extension of the lines would clearly be justified based on the development of the that property or the adjacent property, where in other cases it would not be. But the only way you can properly, it seems to me, handle it is to have some, here again, like all legislation, general legislation that would cover this. But I can see clearly situations where the extension of those lines would be justified based on the problems you already have, perhaps, in an area where it's developed. And if it's developed and you can't do anything about it and they need sewer and water services, then the extension of those mains are clearly justified. If you're talking about a new area, however, where the question of development is the real issue, then it seems to me it doesn't make much sense to ask the boundary commission, for example, to concern itself with annexation of the area if, in fact, the city is able to extend the water and sewer mains and develop it so that by the time anybody looks at it, the issue is already decided. And that's essentially what I think a case like Charbonne was, whether one agrees with it or not, is that as long as you can have a way by which water and sewer are provided, you in fact have decided the development, and all of the decisions that follow subsequently really are frosting on the cake. And what this bill attempts to get at, I think in this particular revision at least, is to say, all right, let's talk about what happens in terms of the water and sewer systems, and if you have some review and control over that, you can in fact have some control over the development of an area. Now, it's the Division of Health and DEQ would still have authority, this doesn't change that at all, in terms of reviewing these systems for adequacy and in terms of standards. What the Boundary Commission would do would be presumably to review them in terms of the question of development and in terms of the existing planning and zoning that's been provided by cities or counties.
Probably the evil or the undesirable thing with respect to Charbonneau, I don't know much about it. What was the problem there, and what happened? Perhaps not good.
It's a question of one's views. I think the argument that those who opposed it have is that they felt that it's trying to hold development in that area. That is, this is right south of Wilsonville, and saying that there was not adequate and sufficient control to the question of development. I think there's really two issues, I suppose, of those who oppose it. One who say it shouldn't develop at all, that it should remain in farmland. And then you get into the other question of whether it's productive, whether you can make money on it in farmland. And the second one, second group of those who opposed it, it was not a question of opposing development, but feeling that perhaps that particular development, a large residential area, was questionable in terms of all the services that were currently available in Wilsonville, what have you. And what happens frequently, and the Boundary Commission gets into this, is that you have some conflict between counties and cities on the zoning question, and frequently a group that wants to develop a piece of property adjacent to the city, if they can't get what they want from the county, or if the county zoning or density isn't quite what they want, they will then approach the city and see if they can get what they want from the city. So that frequently the Boundary Commission is caught in the middle here, and we have a policy that pretty much says that if there's a question of development area of that kind, there has to be people who are making the proposal should try to get the city and the county together in terms of what's going to happen on the zoning question, the planning and zoning question.
Are there other questions?
Right now, was the county in a position, did this happen in the Charbonneau instance?
In the Charbonneau instance, I don't remember all the details of the county question. As far as I recall, however, the density factor was different in terms of the county regulations over the city regulations. And clearly, in terms of the services, you see, there's no way they could get water and sewer service without getting it from the city of Wilsonville. And they preferred, of course, to be in the city because it would be easier to get them, and the city was more willing to give them. But we had every indication that the city would give them sewer and water services on an extraterritory basis if the Boundary Commission did not approve annexation. But it seems to me the real issue, not the issue faced by us particularly, but the real issue that the argument was all about was the development, the type of development at that point. And some argued that the control over the development was insufficient. Now, I think that's questionable depending on how one looks at it in terms of what one thinks ought to be the development. But here's a case where I think clearly whatever the development ought to be, there was no real adequate control over it. As long as those people wanted to develop and as long as the city was willing to give them services, keeping in mind that probably 75% to 90% of the area within Wilsonville is presently undeveloped. As you have an example, it seems to me, of a city that's expanding, trying to expand very rapidly, and it's going to be many years before they develop even the area within the city.
How does, in your view, does the Boundary Commission, or do the Boundary Commission, fit into the question of overall planning, as exemplified, for example, by Centerville 769 or Senate Bill 100 talking about planning? How do they fit into the scheme of things?
I don't know how we're geared in terms of those two particular bills. I think those of us on the Boundary Commission in Portland have felt for some time that we are the only regional body who is really, on any sort of day-to-day operational basis, really involved extensively in zoning and planning conflicts between units of government. As we're not concerned with overall planning for the area or overall zoning, but as you get conflicts between cities and counties, or you get conflicts between two cities or an area between two cities in terms of zoning, we get right in the middle of it. For example, if you've got two cities that are close together and you've got an area between them, if an annexation comes before us, very much involved in is a question, what is that area, how is that area to be developed, and what is being proposed? Because frequently the people who are adjacent to the proposed annexation have a real question about it. So in other words, where you have a proposed annexation, somebody comes in bitterly and says, if they go into the city is going to allow this development. Or if they stay in the county, you'd have this development. So there's really then clearly a question between that the citizens are involved because there are conflicts between the city and the county on the zoning. So quite frequently when you have a city boundary line, what is permitted in terms of zoning on one side is quite different than may be permitted on the other side, or also frequently you have a difference in density allowed. So that whether you can put up an apartment, for example, or whether it has to be strictly single-family residential will be an issue at hand often in many of these proposals. So that even though we're not really have any power or concern for the overall planning question, we get involved in it in terms of particular proposals. What's the conflict and what's the development? We have to then have some sort of view of what the development ought to be because we're asked to make a decision based on that. Even though we're not a planning agency as such. It seems to me clearly though most of the major issues we've gotten into in the last year and a half are land development and zoning and planning issues. Because you can't talk about boundaries of cities or districts without talking about all these questions. And our view is that if you really want to control land use at all or have any sort of view of what the land use should be, I don't mean prevent it, but I mean have some sort of guidelines or control in these sorts of situations, you're not going to be able to do that if you're faced with adding an area to a city or a district when the developments are already taking place. And the control of what that development is may be willy-nilly and hit and miss, which frequently happens.
There was a discussion on the floor yesterday on 769 in Craigville that was raised by Senator Cook about we had Craig sometime before. Maybe there wouldn't have been the pressure to have
to. That wasn't my point. How much was down?
You raised about the. You certainly did. Might not have been the pressure for city county consolidation.
Oh, yeah.
I guess you probably should have been.
Sorry, we're interrupting your interruption.
Then I made the comment that maybe the same thing would have been true with respect to the Metropolitan Service District. Now, if there had been a crag with the teeth in it, in overall direction planning and being able to require and reject plans of local government, do you think it would have been a necessity for a boundary commission in the Metropolitan area?
I think so, but I would think the case for a boundary commission, if you had a very strong crag, would be less substantial. As a matter of fact, when the boundary commissions were first established, the crag organization very much wanted a provision in the statute that would allow local government officials to sit on the boards. Some of the rest of us who worked with the proposals argued against that. And I think we were able, I think, to convince the senators and representatives of the merits of that to the point that in the bill itself it clearly indicates that no elected or appointed local official may sit on the boundary board. The feeling is that they're so close to the particular city or district that they can't get beyond that.
Might not that also be true?
It might, yes. I think you'd raise that issue. That's another point, but I think you can raise that. That the elected official is so beholden and so closely tied to the unit for which he's elected that he can't get beyond that. Now, whether in fact that's true or not, it seems to me that the CRAG organization, even Homer Chandler, I've heard say, who had that earlier view that local officials ought to be on it, this is not to suggest that boundary commission members are not political in the broad sense, but they are, they're not elected by any local official, local government, and presumably they maybe have a little bit more time to give to. I don't know whether that's true or not.
They're not only political, they
write editorials. I haven't written editorials lately.
About 1966 or 1967, there was a conference at the Hilton Hotel put on by that outfit called CDD.
Right.
Did you give a paper?
Yes.
Did you not speak to the proposed danger in the proliferation of single-purpose Lehigh County agencies?
Yes.
Do you still have a copy of that paper?
I can dig it up. I still believe that.
No. Okay. Now, you know.
How does this affect boundary boards, you mean?
No, but the point is that I have cited that because you were way ahead of your time, in my judgment. That was right when we were going pell-mell into the creation of the MSP and the Boundary Commission, it seems to me, and
kinds of single purpose bodies, and you were the only one at that point that spoke of the danger. Now we're here, and some of us are saying, wait a minute, we're proliferating too many of these. I don't want to lead you into agreement, and I know you won't if you don't, but maybe we should have gone slower on proliferating the single purpose agency and made stronger, bigger agency.
Yes, I still hold the same view. I suppose the best example of the sort of problem you're talking about, though I don't see any point getting into discussion of that particularly, but is the conflict, particularly about a year or a year and a half ago, between TriMet and the service district. A very unequal contest, even though presumably the service district had more power, it had no real organization as of yet and no money. But that conflict over that transportation question, of course, this was an example clearly not of two separate districts handling different functions, but of two districts presumably having the same function, at least in terms of transportation. But I think you have essentially the same sort of phenomenon on the regional level. You've got all kinds of local of districts, as you have on the local level, where you have a water district and a sewer district and a fire district. At some point, you have to talk about, isn't it better to have a general purpose government? Of course, then you get in all kinds of other issues about metropolitan government and local control and so forth. In a sense, I suppose if you were to list all those metropolitan districts, you could conclude the Boundary Commission in that, although it's not a district. It is a state agency, and I would think the more units of government you got, whether they're district governments like the MSD or little local districts, you have a problem of all these proliferating boundaries. I would think if you were to look at what boundary commissions have done, the most useful thing they've done overall, it seems to me, although I think when you tell people that holding public hearings don't really mean very much, and the notices, we have continual problem of how you adequately notify people. But there is publicity on these things, there is visibility, and anyone who wants to be heard on an issue, on any boundary change, whether they're in the proposed annexation or not, is heard. So that for the first time, it seems to me an awful lot of this stuff about development and boundary changes and whether you're going to have this city annexing or that city annexing or a county service district versus annexation to a city, all that is more public than it ever was, so that you can have an argument out of the cases. Now, people may go away unhappy because you can only make one decision. But on these questions of land development, where you've got millions of dollars involved, there seems to us no clear argument but that you've got to have as many sides as you can have presented on a public, some sort of public basis. And in fact, you get that. Now, let me talk about this issue, for example. If the city-county should consolidate, I would think probably it would be true then that the need for a boundary commission within that Multnomah area, Multnomah County, City of Portland area, you wouldn't need one. You would still need something in the other counties, but it would mean that the whole operation would change somewhat, because if you only got one unit of government, presumably, it can handle its own question of county service areas and districts and what have you. But until you have some sort of unit that has a broader regional base, you're going to have continued conflicts over the question of how you extend boundaries or whether you create more units. One of the interesting things in the Portland area is that since the Boundary Commission was created there in 1969, there have been no incorporations of new cities that have been reviewed by the Boundary Commission. There are two or three little ones, like Johnson City, for example, which is the trailer park out from Clackamas County. They were initiated prior to the Boundary Commission, and under the statutes, they were enabled to go ahead and did go ahead and were incorporated. But there have been no new incorporation or elections on new cities since 1969 under the Boundary Commission's authority. Now, there have been some districts in a few cases. But the intent, I think, clearly here was to reduce the number, or perhaps more specifically, to clearly review when there was a proposal, to review whether that proposal made any sense, and how it related to land development, and how it related to sewer and waters, and how it related to what was happening in the area generally. Now, one of them, I mentioned earlier about the problem we have with CRAG, that problem is no longer there. Our staff, for example, is now working very closely with CRAG.
Yeah.
Yes. As a matter of fact, we have, the staff has offices in the same building. They're different offices, but in the same building. And our people have used the draftsman of Craig on some mapping and so forth, so that we have a pretty good cooperative relationship with Craig, and we've called on them in various cases to give their views on land use questions. And the last year or two, it's been pretty good. The first year or so of the Boundary Commission, the relationship with Craig was pretty bad. But that has changed 180 degrees.
Well, if you could send me a copy of that, I'd really appreciate it.
I'd be happy to.
The other point, I think, if I understand what you're saying between lines, is that it's important that the Boundary Commission be a state agency to have the independence to make these kinds of decisions rather than to be
Yes, and we do work closely, of course, with those officials, but for example, we will make decisions sometimes that denies an annexation to a city. I think initially there were a view by some citizens that the boundary commissions were set up to annex areas to cities.
That's a popular view.
Yes. I think it's less prevalent view than it used to be. But there are many times that we deny. In fact, we just recently denied an annexation to Wilsonville, and the proposed developer, very upset. The city of Wilsonville is upset, and conceivably could have a court case on it. Our view on this one is that it's south of the city, and that there is so much land yet to be developed within Wilsonville that there's some real question at this point whether you want to take that property off of what it's presently being used for or could be used for and simply put it into houses. Now that means that you make some very tough decisions, and they're increasingly a view I think sometimes some of us have, that you don't really have enough information sometimes. But if you wait until you have everything in terms of some of these issues, you might as well sit back and do nothing. So what I'm really saying is you can take any one particular issue and argue whether we made the right decision or not. Nevertheless, I think the board has gotten increasingly tougher in looking at all aspects of a proposal: land development, water and sewer. Can the city provide the services? If the city gives water and sewer services to an area, what does that mean in terms of availability of services to people currently in the city, for example? That's one of the issues in Wilsonville. Do they have the facilities to provide all of this if they should develop internally? And you get into all kinds of these issues relating clearly to land development. Well, our staff, for example, has gotten increasingly to the point they have to check with DEQ about sewer questions, with the Division of Health about water questions, with CRAG about planning and zoning coordination, with the county and the city and so forth. Most of our reports, for example, when the Boundary Commission has a hearing, each one of our staff reports for each proposal clearly relates to these questions, talks about effects on other local governments and so on.
Chairman, what are your relationships
I can't speak to that in very specific terms, Senator. As far as I know, the one big thing they're really involved in is solid waste planning and concerned with the solid waste problem. Our staff as such, I don't think, really has much connection with them on any sort of official basis. I don't think there are enough in the operational level really to affect much of what the Boundary Commission is doing. Now, in terms of some of the proposals to tie the service district to Craig and some of the proposed legislation, I'm sure that the staff has had perhaps at some point some connection with the people working on that. But in terms of our operation and our proposals, I don't believe there's been any connection to date with the service district.
Further questions, Dr. Steve? Thank you very much. George Birdie. While Mr. Birdie is testifying, the following people have indicated what bill they're here to testify on. I'm going to read your names, and you come up and put down the number of the bill in front of your name. It would be helpful. Mr. McKinley, David Dan, Mr. Burnside. Those names I mentioned, if you put down the number of the bill in front of your name, so we'll know what they're testifying on. George, put it down.
Chairman and members of the committee, I'm George Birnie, a lawyer from Portland, representing a number of water districts in the metropolitan Portland area and in adjoining counties. We are opposed to the bill. Now, and there are two areas mentioned that we think are not a valid exercise of jurisdiction by the Boundary Commission, and which we think would be an unwise attempt to increase its authority. The first area is that which would deny a city or a district the authority to extend a water or sewer line extraterritorially. Now, I'm not familiar with Charbonneau, but Charbonneau seems to be the only example cited by Dr. Cease in his presentation of this measure for legislation. But for every Charbonneau, I think we can cite about five others where a city, having once extended its lines extraterritorially, found that annexation was not something that was expected. And in fact, it was even resisted by those to whom the line had been extended. I think the case in point are the water districts surrounding the city of Portland, who, and to some extent in Salem, who have consistently rejected annexation, much to the dismay of the people in the cities, and maybe that's one of the reasons for the creation of the Boundary Commission in the first place. So this does not encourage or anticipate annexation. The people in most instances who receive extraterritorial services, not only from cities, but from special districts as well, do it on the basis pretty much of an economic, for economic considerations and not political or boundary ones. The subsection 4 of the bill has to do really with areas that aren't districts at all or touch districts or affect them. And that is, it would even permit a private developer from creating his own sewerage disposal system or his water supply system. And that could be independent, really, of any attempt or intent to do that by way of seeking a source of supply from a city or any other adjoining facility. There are many instances where developers are developing property, Mr. Chairman, and who have their own source of water supply and develop that, and that would be prohibited by this bill. We have cases out in this county, in Marion County, where because a water district has been denied to the developer and he's too far away from other facilities to get water, he would be unable to develop except for the fact that he used his own water supply facilities, dug his well, and proceeded in that manner. Now, whether or not this is wise from the standpoint of those who preside over these things, and whether or not it should be done when already approvals have been given by counties and states and other administrations that are involved, is another matter, because the Boundary Commission, by this proposal, seeks to be injected into a matter of concern of whether or not land should be developed. And not necessarily boundaries of districts, but land should be developed outside of districts, cities, and special districts, maybe in areas which should be really handled by other authority, the counties or somebody else. Now, those two sections that we are opposed to. Thank you.
The questions of Mr. Burney?
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you. Fred Bonatta?
I'm Fred Vanatta. Fred Vanatta, appearing before you on behalf of the Oregon State Home Builders Association. I think you've had some excellent testimony from Mr. Burney, and I know there's some other people signed up on the bill who have perhaps a good deal more experience in the intricacies of local government than I do that can express concerns about it. Our association has begun to take a more critical look at the entire role of boundary boards. They appear to be an additional layer of government that really has very little citizen input from the local level. They're appointed by the governor and find themselves in the position of vetoing actions that the city and the county and the residents of the area all agree on. I think they need to be re-examined in light of our efforts to get planning all together and develop comprehensive plans. that under the process that's established in Senate Bill 100. This bill significantly expands their authority and power. I wonder what would happen if the Health Division ordered an annexation of an area for health and sanitation reasons. As I read this bill, why the Boundary Commission could veto such an order.
Where do you see that?
Well, if I understand this bill, why the any extension of a sewer or well, any extension of a sewer or water line would require approval of the Boundary Commission.
Why is that bad?
Well, I'm raising the point of the potential of a conflict between when the health, if the Health Division were to order an annexation or order a sewer or water line in an area for health and sanitation reasons, there's the potential for the Boundary Commission to veto that, if I understand what is said here correctly.
Well, Fred, they're doing two different things. The Health Division bringing it in there because it's a health hazard. The Boundary Commission there to try to do it so it serves the public the most efficiently. But they both have a role, don't they? As to the way it's, the Health Division may not be very concerned about the way it's done, that is, the source of the water supply, the source of the sewer service, just so it's done, while the Boundary Commission is looking at it in a broader sense, so that in the long range, they're going to be able to tie into other districts and so forth. So,
well, okay, I'll.
It may be desirable that they do have a water.
The question I will leave with you then, the question and the concern of how this authority fits in with the development of comprehensive plans, and the question of giving a broader authority to this agency or these commissions to in effect sit over and above the comprehensive plans that are envisioned in the process established in Senate Bill 100. And while you're looking at the authority that's granted the commission, why note on that appears twice, one in subsection 3 and one in subsection 4, if the commission disapproves the plan, no further action may be taken. And that certainly appears to close off the customary kinds of appeals that you have to actions taken by governmental jurisdictions.
Senator Johnson, Frank, we have a problem in this area.
I'm sorry I don't come before you able to cite in detail the case. One of the things that that brought my board attention to this bill was the case that occurred in the metropolitan area, where the city was in favor of an annexation, and the people involved in the area and the developer. There was general approval by everybody involved, and it went to the Boundary Commission, and they vetoed the annexation. Potentially, you could take the argument that the chairman made, that somebody needs to stand back and not be responsive to the current concerns of the people in the area and say no all the time.
That wasn't my argument. Go ahead.
Those are the kinds of things that begin to create concern about the role of Boundary Commissions.
No, you misunderstood my question. Do you think, or does your board feel, any kind of a problem at all which is sought to be cured by this particular piece of legislation? You know, in the broad spectrum, is there a problem which, a general problem which this legislation seeks to solve?
I the proponents would have to speak to that. I am unable to identify it. I just was reviewing this one about requiring boundary commission approval of sewage systems, and I checked the statute, and if I'm putting in a packaged sewage treatment plant that would serve five or more households, you know, not only do I go to the local governmental jurisdiction for approval, and I go to the DEQ for approval, now I've got to go to the boundary commission for approval.
All right, well, okay, and I'm sensitive about that, too, about all these places you have to go. But what I guess I'm saying is, if you acknowledge that there is a problem and you don't like the bill, what's the alternative?
Well,
I think that the construction way to solve these problems, and you fall into this category more than some other people that we hear from time to time, a proposed constructive alternative, some way cut down the multi-layered steps that you go through and still attempt to solve the problem.
Well, I accept the introduction of your statement, Senator, as a compliment. I think the solution to the development problems, and as I understand Dr. Cease's testimony, his concern was that this bill gives broader control over development. And of course, I do not see providing houses for people as big a problem as some people do. But I think when you develop comprehensive plans, as is envisioned under some other legislation that we've agonized a lot over, I think you then, you know, get it all together in one place and you've got the levers to control development and channel it. I'm not sure that the boundary commissions fit in that scheme of things.
Actually, though, Fred, doesn't this bill really fit into the policy statement that was originally adopted for the Boundary Commission? I was just reading that, and they quickly cited here. The Legislative Assembly finds that a fragmented approach has developed public services provided by local government. Such an approach has limited the orderly development and growth of Oregon's urban areas for the maximum interest of all its citizens, and so on. In a sense, while this certainly does restrict the freedom of action of cities, it is in line with its overall policy. I mean, this legislation is in line with the policy statement originally adopted in 69.
Well, I don't disagree that you can carry their authority to ridiculous extremes, presumably, and still be in accord with that general, you know, broad philosophical statement. It's difficult, at least, to convince some of my members if I want to put in a five-family package sewage treatment plant, you know, that we've got to go jump through this additional hoop.
But if you're going to really have land use planning, don't you have to stop this sort of private development that you've got here? You can't allow guy just because he can put up a septic tank
The point is, Senator, that will only go in if it's in accord with a comprehensive plan and has the approval of the local governing body, the city or county as the case may be, and the Department of Environmental Quality has looked at it for the health and sanitation aspects of it. So if it's in accord with a comprehensive plan and it's safe and sanitary from the DEQ point of view, what role do you have for a third agency is, I guess, the question that I would ask in that case.
Are there other questions? No. Thank you very much. Mr. McKinley?
Mr. Chairman, committee members.
You have prepared a statement there?
Yes, this is, yes, and they have been distributed. It's a statement by Mr. Sabin, the Public Utility Commissioner.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And he couldn't be here this morning, so he asked that I read it for him and then subject myself to any questions you may have. He states, I would like to apologize for not appearing before the House Committee on local government and urban affairs to discuss House Bill 3106. I do feel that there is a decided conflict for the
reg... You're not wrong, you're the Senate Committee. So tell me what you say,
but
that's what I'm mad at.
Okay.
Well, we're a
free commissioner. Maybe you solve it, I do feel that there is a decided conflict for the regulated water industry between the existing public utility statutes and the jurisdiction of boundary commissions as proposed in House Bill 3106. The present statutes give the public utility commissioner the duty of ensuring customer protection in the operation of public utilities. For the privately owned water companies, this regulation goes beyond tariff filings and quality of service to include the physical development of the utility. The commissioner may require a water company to extend its facilities or install larger mains in order to meet prospective customers' present and foreseeable needs in areas that can logically be served by the existing company. This practice results in a long-term savings of time and money by eliminating costly rebuilding. In accomplishing this desirable goal, many regulated water companies have been authorized to construct pipelines, storage, and pumping facilities adequate to serve future customers in their practical service territory. Should House Bill 3106 become law, it would be possible for the local boundary commission to limit further expansion of the private water service in favor of a future city service. This would result in higher costs to the existing users and could lead to a duplication of facilities not in the best interest of any utility customer. Another factor is a possible delay in providing needed service to individuals or communities should the Boundary Commission fail to approve plans. It is assumed that the only agency which could provide service would be the city itself. This may take years in some instances, and possibly a tremendous increase in cost to prospective customers. These problems of delay and cost have undoubtedly had a bearing on passage of the Public Utility Code regarding service extensions. I must also call...
this is the same argument that Mr. Banana was giving away, saying that if the health division, can prevent them from doing it. Really, all this bill does is let the boundary commission say a better way. And we have this problem of urban sprawl, and where we find that the urban area goes out along the highways and leaves all the blank spots in between, and it makes the servicing of these areas inferior, sometimes impossible, and the Public Utility Commission is not interested in planning.
Not in the development of property, no.
So it means if the Boundary Commission doesn't get involved and you leave the Public Utility Commission, there's going to be done any planning of mine at all.
May I continue with this? I think I can answer that possibly. maybe I should answer right now. I don't think Mr. Sabin is particularly objecting to the concept. What he's objecting to, as I think continuing through here, he's objecting to the fact that he feels that there should be some recourse even after the Boundary Commission has, say, made a decision. Maybe somewhere where they can go to appeal to the courts or something, if there's some particular case where it can hurt a utility.
We might put them under the appeal section of Senate Bill 100.
And one of the other main concerns of his was the fact that some of the utilities have now and are, at our insistence and at our suggestions from our department, building larger possibly than what is necessary to take care of the present load of customers. But we insist that they build, if they have a, for instance, a development for, say, potential 300 houses, we insist that you put in mains that will be competent to serve these people. And whether or not they're earning at the beginning, we always tell them they're bound to have a loss at the beginning, like any doing business. And if they're a developer, they have to absorb this loss. They can't expect the customers, present customers, to pay for it. But at such time as they become a point there where they become saturated, then they'll be able to take care of this. Now, this is one of the things I know is concerning him, is the normal, what do we do? In other words, should our statute be changed, or should there be some change in this bill which will avoid this conflict we may run into?
I think this is a very important piece of legislation, and I plan on having Mr. Hunsinger have together the Mountain Commission and from the Health Division and from the Public Utility Commission to look at it to make sure we're not doing violence to some of their responsibilities. I intend on doing that, but I'll get that out of the way. Senator Jones.
Well, I have something to say, and I'm not taking you on. Just unfortunately, you have to be sitting there representing the executive. But the Boundary Commission is a state agency. The Local Government Assistance Division is in the governor's office. The Public Utility Commissioner is part of the executive. And here again, we have a situation where presumably two or three executive agencies come before a legislative committee, and you're all the hell over the ballpark. And I've seen this happen repeatedly this session. And I would like to know where Mr. Kenwell is and where the governor is and the people that you work for. And why don't you all get together and work out your problems and come in with a unified front? You put the legislature in a very unenviable position.
I think that's a good point. I think the coordination.
I see it happening. I don't know how many people there are sitting in this room that work for the executive branch, but presumably there is a problem. And some of us really are concerned about it and want to help. But when the proponents within themselves in different directions. We sit up here and we shotgun. And I don't think it's necessary. I don't think there's any way that a legislature can shotgun an answer or act in response to a lobbyist that happens to be a friend of theirs or somebody in the executive that happens to be a friend of theirs and come out in favor of the public interest and have it thrown this around within the executive branch. I know they have staff meetings every day.
To my knowledge, there's been nothing along this line. However, I think it's a good, well-taken point. I think if there was a coordinator that could be available so that these agencies could get together, the heads of the agencies, and discuss it.
Is that what Mr. Logan does?
Well, I have a great respect for Mr. Logan, but I don't think it's his responsibility. I think perhaps, I don't know who.
Yeah.
But let me ask another question in a more moderate thing. Don't you have a PUC bill in which would take water districts completely out from under the PUC?
Not districts, but small water utilities, yes.
Well, that wouldn't be effective. I mean, that has no effect on them. In other words, if that bill passed, would it remove some of the
conflict? Yes.
It would.
Some of it, but not completely.
But not completely.
No, because this is more or less designed, it's a case of economics with the bill we have. That bill proposes that the smaller utilities who do not have expertise to conduct their own formal hearings and this kind of thing, or even make out their annual reports.
That's the utilities, not the district.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
How many agencies are involved here, John? How many?
Well, I think the boundary commissions are state agencies appointed by the governor. So to that extent, they fall. I ask, I believe, the young lady from Lane County who coordinated y'all, whether somebody in Mr. Logan's office or you did it yourself. Then Mr. Logan's office is represented here.
Now, which office is that?
Well, that's Local Government Assistance Division in the governor's office or the executive branch. And presumably, you have a position in favor of the bill. Now, Public Utility Commissioner is raising some very legitimate questions about it. And I see the budget division is represented here, too. And so, presumably, there are four executive departments that are in attendance here, three of which have a position. And obviously, all four of which have an interest.
Maybe that is because the governor is in Israel.
Do you want to continue this year?
I don't know where I left off.
You left, you ended the first paragraph on page 2.
Okay, that's all right. I think we probably covered a lot of that already. I must also call to the attention of the committee that water companies under PUC jurisdiction are not subject to the area allocation statute. This means that if the revenue from a prospective customer or group of customers meets with the requirements of the line extension policy, if the cost to serve does not result in a heavier burden to existing customers, the commissioner by law must order the water company to extend its facilities to provide service, regardless of boundary lines, arbitrary or physical. However, under present law, the privately owned water company is not required to submit plans to the PUC for an extension, which is in accordance with the required tariffs. Thus, plans for the extension could not be submitted to the state agency by the state agency to the Boundary Commission, as proposed under Section 2, Paragraph 4 of House Bill 3106. Further, any order of the Public Utility Commissioner is subject to appeal by a regulated utility. Such an appeal process appears to be omitted in House Bill 3106, should the Boundary Commission disapprove plans for an extension. I have listed in this testimony the statutes that could be in direct conflict with House Bill 3106. There may be additional conflicts which require examination. Passage of this bill could have an adverse effect on water customers statewide due to the additional cost required for utility development in any area adjacent to a city with an established Boundary Commission.
Are there further questions of Mr. McKinley? I might point out that we have Senate Bill 221 that we had a hearing on that brings the activities of domestic water supply districts and so forth underneath the Public Utilities Commissioner. And then I guess the Public Utility Commissioner has in House Bill 2270 that does what they want in that regard, and it passed the House and is now in the Senate Committee on State and Federal Affairs. And, so that's the history of the legislation on the water districts and so far becoming under the jurisdiction of the Public Utility Commissioner. Are there other questions, Mr. McKinley? Thank you very much. Mr. Dan?
David Don.
Don, I'm sorry.
Is that all right? You're right, Adam. Very good.
Chairman, Senators, my name is David Don, and I live in northeast Salem area, outside the city limits. I'm a member of the East Salem Sewage and Drainage District Advisory Committee, and I've been requested to come today with a reference to Bill 3106 in opposition to the enactment of that bill. The East Salem Sewer District, taking on additional duties by election of the people under the provisions of the Oregon Code, and this bill would prevent any further duties by the various districts if not approved by the Boundary Commission. We feel that certain things that the people themselves should have a right to dictate as to who should serve them, and especially in view of the fact that otherwise that service would not be provided. The Sewer District itself was formed in 1960, 65 or 66 because the cities could not and would not provide service to the entire area. Since that time, we have expanded the district services to include street lighting. This bill, if enacted, would prevent the districts themselves from taking on any additional duties. We feel that this is not in the public interest, and we also feel that to prevent the existing district to extend their sewer lines to areas that we feel are needed, necessary sewer services, would also not be in the public interest unless they were permitted to do so. And this is the reason that we feel that we should object to Senate Bill, or House Bill 3106.
Thank you, Mr. Dunn. Other questions, Mr. Dunn? Thank you very much. Mr. Burnside?
Senator Burns and gentlemen, I'm merely repetitive in the gentleman that preceded me. I'm with the Kaiser Water District. We recently demonstrated, I think, in a petition that was circulated for just about a week. We had between 7,500 and 8,000 names out in the Kaiser District, which is considerable, protesting the Boundary Commission's ideas. We feel like they are usurping a good many powers that they should not, that's all. We feel like they're trying to reach out and take over a good many of the duties that we feel are already taken care of, and we wouldn't like to just protest in that respect, that's all.
Thank you, Mr. Burnside. Your question, Mr. Burnside?
Thank you.
Bernard Stewart?
I'm Bernard Stewart with the Janitary Gardens Water Company, a private-owned utility.
Where?
Salem, northeast Salem. We have approximately 1,000 connections, and regardless of the outcome of the bill that you had reference to of eliminating some of these smaller companies from PUC jurisdiction, companies of my type would still be coming to the PUC code, and that's what I'm concerned with. The bill as it is written there gives a city or a water district a territorial limit, their existing limits, the area that is now laying within the district or the city. A private owned utility is not given any defined territory. We have absolutely nothing in line of where we may or may not go, at least a water district where they do not have existing lines between mains. They can still do this without having to go through the boundary board or boundary commission. An existing owned utility having 2 8 or 10 inch mains, two main streets where it was designed to serve the areas between, with 6 inches mains to loop and complete those ties. And we were required to put these 8 inch mains out there by the State Board of Health and the PUC. And anticipating that they'd be amortized over a long period of time from future revenues, from lines that would take off from that, the question that comes to my mind, will I be able to put that line between those two, or looping off of those, or will I not? As I read the bill, it says beyond the extent affected. The extent affected means completed now, being served now, as far as near as I can interpret Webster's dictionary. So I don't have any territory. I can't put one more foot of mainline in the ground without coming under the boundary board's authority, and they have a right to veto that. And as I read the bill, I'm still concerned, like Mr. Vanatta is, they have a right to veto that before the State Board of Health would approve that, even though there might be a health hazard existing in there. In the event that there was no other utility available in no city, and I think Mr. Burns was trying to refer to the boundary commission to have the say-so of who would serve it. But let's assume there is only a utility that can serve it. They still have that right to veto it, even though a hazard exists. So it would impose terrific problems in that respect. And I believe when the boundary boards were created, they were designed to eliminate governmental jurisdictions. And a private-owned utility is not a governmental jurisdiction or overlapping governmental agency. It's a private-owned utility paying taxes to governmental jurisdictions. We actually pay taxes. We're not collecting them. And so we're certainly not overlapping governmental jurisdiction. I would ask in review of that that you give strong consideration after your conference with your various heads, which I think is a good suggestion, to delete the reference to private-owned utilities. The only advantage of regulating private-owned utilities is to control growth or to get involved in the planning process. And apparently we have quite a few of those bills already before the legislature that if even half of them get through, that won't be a necessity.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Stewart. Mrs. Anderson?
I'm Dorothy Anderson, Legislative Chairman for the League of Women Voters of Oregon, and I won't even bother reading the statement. I think I can say it more quickly than it would take to read it. Our members are very much strong supporters of comprehensive planning, and our positions in this area have come about through both local and statewide studies. And we have... Sure, yeah, it's great, okay. Okay, but we have found on our local, studies that it's preparing the comprehensive plan is real easy. The difficult part comes in seeing that it's properly implemented, and several of our local leagues have been very intimately involved in problems of comprehensive plans and their implementation in their local areas, and have discovered the hard way that there is really a need for coordination of the various agencies and utilities who are responsible for providing the various services, and the boundary commissions are providing a valuable service in coordinating the functions and overseeing what's happening. We've also discovered that, innocent as it may seem, some actions by one particular utility or agency can have very definite far-reaching and long-range effects. The extension of one service can cause later the need for extension of further services. Therefore, there is a need for the coordination of these activities, and that's why we think that this bill is very much needed and supported.
You have a question?
I have, John. I agree. But have you analyzed and really fully comprehended the turn that we would be taking by giving a boundary commission in something that I this authority over privately owned utilities?
Yes. A privately owned utility's actions can have just as strong
Absolutely.
Implications.
No question about it. But we are giving another agency authority over this, which presently DEC has.
Well, to us it's needed because it all does fit into this. If you're going to have a comprehensive plan, if you're going to try to coordinate the actions in a particular area, the actions that are related to land use and development, then you simply have to have the tools to carry out the function.
Well,
and so that's
the logical extension of that would be to give the boundary commission authority over the construction of transmission lines and power and power.
The extension of electric utilities is what you're really saying.
Well, electric
that also.
Utilities or health.
The only difference that there might be there, I think you have a valid point, the one difference there might be there is that these are more universal. Electricity and telephone lines are now more universal throughout the whole state.
Not any more universal or not really as primary and necessary as water lines. The point is, I wanted to put transmission lines in Senate Bill 100. Critical activity, but that's something else. But it seems to me that you can't turn it seems to me that you have to support putting all sorts of transmission lines and maybe even highways under boundary commission jurisdiction if you put water lines in or private water. utility company. And if the PUC isn't responsive and sufficiently sensitive to the planning problem, then maybe the PUC ought to be shaken up. We ought to put some planners in there, the same way that the Highway Commission, you know. But we don't necessarily get at the root of the problem just by getting duplicating authority to another agency. I just wonder how thoroughly the league analyzed this aspect. I have no problem with the concept.
I can't think that we've necessarily gone into the problem of electric utilities. As far as your state agencies versus your local boundary commission, you can say that the local boundary commissions are state agencies and that they're appointed by the governor, but they're still local people with their local, their hearing processes in the local area. So we consider them more as local agencies because it's right there where we can go easily and we can hear them and we can speak to them.
By golly, if I appointed them, they'd follow my policy and they'd be responsive to my other appointed agency head. And so they're state agencies because their power comes from the appointed. They're there because of their autonomy.
But they're still local people very much aware of local problems. They do have a local outlook on things. I'm sorry that I can't answer you specifically on the electric problem because we haven't, I don't think we looked at that specifically so much as the need to coordinate what's happening within an area. And of course, you're right in the sense that electricity does have an impact also on where development goes. Although, the only thing I can remember in our studies is that we determined that it did not have as much of an impact in the development in a metropolitan area as the extension of water. Which, you know, water, then sewers, if you're going to put it out, you got to bring it back, you got to do something with it eventually, because it was more universal.
Are there other questions? Senator Carson.
Well, I believe in coordination, but I think you do this bill an injustice if you talk about coordination. It's not a matter of just coordinating, it's a matter of determining. Because as I realize the bill, or as I view the bill, the county could go one direction, the city could go another, and if the Boundary Review Commission doesn't go along, it's not a matter of coordinating, it's a matter of freezing, stopping. Avoiding, if you will, does the fact that none of them are elected cause any concern, kind of like John asked. Does the fact that the coordinating in the sense of life and death in the area of construction or not construction, does it cause you any concern, or does it cause the league any concern that these are appointed officials responsible to the governor as opposed to being elected officials and, in fact, can countermand the view of elected county commissioners?
This is something that I'm very sorry that we haven't looked into because this is one area, I hate to have to dodge a question, but we have not gone into this. It is a very difficult question, and I know we got hung up on this, if you want to go back to constitutional revision, as you mentioned before. We are very much in favor of electing legislative policymaking people, very much in favor of appointing administrative, but here you get into that sort of judicial or quasi-judicial body. And in the Constitution, we could not agree whether or not we thought the judiciary, for example, should be elected or appointed. We really got hung up on that. And so we have not looked in specifically to the question of election or appointment of Boundary Commission people. My guess is that we'd have the same hang-ups with them if we did. And I'm sorry to have to dodge it.
No, I don't know the answer to it either. Yeah. Except that they're more than quasi-judicial. We've already given them authority to, or there are bills to allow them to initiate annexation and a variety of other things. They're far more than just a reviewing body that problems presented to them, maybe by left or right. They're an activist. They're far more than coordinating with judicial. They're executive, legislative, and judicial in all points.
Are there further questions? Thank you, Joe. Mr. Brown?
I did not realize, gentlemen, until last night that your ground rules require a written statement.
They require a written statement.
I did not have one. And
had an hour and a half to write one out.
I've been here just a half an hour listening. Name Walter F. Brown, 2104 Southwest Wembley Park Road, Lake Oswego. President of Clackamas County Citizens Association. a membership group of 150 citizens within Clackamas County. I have read 3106. We generally support the purpose of the bill, which we understand to bring the boundaries of water and sewer utility service within the jurisdiction of the three boundary commissions currently operating within the state. We feel that the present jurisdiction, which is limited to the modification of political boundaries of cities and counties, is a too narrow expression of the basic purpose for which these boundary commissions were established, and that this bill would greatly effectuate the general purpose of the commissions.
A question, Mr. Brown. What did the Clackamas County Citizens Association that grow out of your zoning?
It grew basically out of our concern for the proposed comprehensive plan that was that came out of an effort in the county in the summer of 19. No, we oppose it. We oppose it because as we look at it, it was the plan basically is a plan of surrender to urban sprawl rather than a plan of affirmatively planning
ZAMO was
an anti planning group. Our group is a pro planning but pro intelligent planning. ZAMO is dead.
The
Maginot Line was a plan. The Maginot Line was a plan, but it was not an effective plan.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Thank you.
All right, now we're going to go to 3091 Don Jones, the League of Oregon Cities. Now that's all we're going to do on boundary commissions today. We're not going to have any work sessions or anything on boundary commissions. We're going to do those later.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Don Jones representing the League of Oregon Cities. And incidentally, while it's still fresh in your mind, the League would like to be counted among supporters of House Bill 3106, the bill you just heard, even though it does involve some extra control over what cities do outside their boundaries. But I'm really appearing today, the League is, as the principal proponent or proposer of House Bill 3091, which, as the statement indicates, is designed to make incorporation of cities in close proximity to existing cities more difficult. 3091, HB 3091, yes, Senator. Presently, under the, and our typewriter made a mistake, it's the 1941 Municipal Incorporation Act, not 1971. If an area proposed to be incorporated is within an urbanized area, and that's defined as 6 miles from a big city or 3 miles from a little city, the petition for incorporation must meet one of three requirements, be accompanied by a resolution from the neighboring city saying it's we approve of the incorporation, or it must be signed by people that meet a triple majority requirement, half the landowners, half the assessed value, half the property, or be accompanied by an affidavit from an organizer stating that the city denied the or disapproved the incorporation request, or that no action on a request was made. And so if they meet any of these three, they can proceed to force the election on the incorporation. This kind of procedure came into play in such a situation in Johnson City and Maywood Park, where the proponents were able to meet number two there. They felt strongly about the incorporation.
Number
and so
two
the,
is
that B, the, yeah, the triple majority. I'm referring to my statement here rather than the bill. But anyhow, the triple majority requirement was met by them, so they didn't have to meet the requirement that the adjacent cities approve the incorporation.
And this bill eliminates that.
This bill eliminates that and says that the existing city must approve the incorporation, or if the existing city takes no action at all, they may proceed.
That's within 120 days or something?
Right. It's within, I forget what the time schedule is.
Yeah, 120
yes, within 120 days, days correct.
Any other problems besides Maywood Park or Johnson City?
We have some, of course, as your previous testimony has indicated, now that the boundary commissions are in operation, you probably wouldn't get many of those in boundary commission areas, and you really haven't had any in boundary commission areas. But this would be applicable statewide, and I suppose the best example is a proposal to incorporate Millersburg adjacent to Albany, which includes the Kraft plant and Wachang. And there's been a proposal to incorporate an area there. All you have to do to incorporate, bear in mind, is have 150 people and a petition signed by 20% of the voters in that area that includes 150 people.
But if this passed, Albany would have to...
Albany would have to approve the incorporation. It's built on the idea that if the existing city is there and wants to plan on serving that area, then a new city should not be allowed. But it puts the cities in the driver's seat.
By incorporating, it gets the liquor revenue, gas tax revenue,
and highway.
Highway.
And about $20 per capita per year. So this just tightens up the existing law. It's not a complete prohibition on incorporation near existing cities, as some states have actually done. But it is designed to eliminate this one loophole under which the people who feel strongly about an incorporation have been able to proceed.
Senator John Byrne moves House Bill 3091-4 to pass recommendation. Discussion, clerk call roll.
Aye.
No. I may vote aye, but I just not ready to vote aye.
I'm sorry. I didn't know anybody.
That's all right. I could have jumped up and yelled the screen, but I...
Senator John Burns withdrew his vote.
I've got any further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, now... if you have a question, you might have a question. Next up. Okay, now, Senate Bill 825, we have an amendment in front of you. And that amendment should be amended by striking the until July 1, 1980.
I move it. Mr. Chairman,
we sent this back to Florida, didn't we?
It went to the floor and it came back, and the concern of, would you remember?
Oh, I remember.
They thought that Vic and Tia could ship all of his rugs over to the Fountain Gallery on January 1 and then haul them out on January 2, and they wouldn't pay any ad valorem tax, any inventory tax. So this...
Mr. Chairman, to borrow a phrase both from literature and art, this bill has all the aspects of the portrait of Dorian Gray. The longer it's around, the uglier it gets.
You've gone everywhere.
Art objects created by an artist living on the effective date of this act, which are on consignment to art gallery, and which were owned by the artist on the date of his death. Okay. That means he has to be alive on the day it's effective and dead on the time of assessment, in order for that to apply,
okay,
right?
I don't think it's a judgment.
I know what we're trying to
do. By an artist on the effective date of material. No, here's the thing, strategy. We don't want to go back beyond the present time and exempt those objects that were owned and consigned at the time of the death of the artist. In other words, we're not exempting those objects of Michelangelo and a few others. You see, what we're talking about is...
I understand what we're trying to get at.
I think the language does it.
Well, doesn't it have isn't there a two-step test in order to, several steps, but two basic things as far as the art is concerned. One, he must be alive on the effective date of the act, which with no emergency clause would be September, October, whenever we get out of here, plus 90 days. And he has to own them on the day of his death, which means that he's got to be alive on the effective date and dead on the assessment date.
I don't think it's been. Let me try. They're created by an artist living on the effective date of this act, which are on consignment to an art gallery. Now, those objects are exempt.
And?
No. And we're talking about then also those which were owned by an artist on the date of his death. Oh, all right, well, I don't think it's going to work either.
Well, Mr. Chairman, when I voted to pass it out, I thought it was a pretty good bill, but the combination of subsequent testimony and Senator Newbery's comments and the revenue division, as much as I'd like to help the struggling young artists and the art galleries, this thing is more curious and more curious, or curiouser and curiouser, and I really have no interest in pursuing it.
We'll work a little bit more on this amendment and see if there are enough words. Okay, now wait 1 minute. 1 minute. Is there anybody here to testify on Senate Bill 805? Okay, the chairman moves that we table Senate Bill 805. This is the bill put in with the behest of the Senator Hurd. He indicated that nobody showed up this time to let us have a deep stake. All right. Further discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
If you could come back to me this minute, I'd like to see what the bill is.
You could vote aye, it's gone down.
Yeah. Oh, that's the only person I could be. I'd like to see what I'm voting.
Is that in the table section?
Yeah, I vote.
No.
You'll never be as sorry for tabling the bill as you will.
Okay, now there's a... okay, now... Senate Bill 740, did you distribute those letters?
Yes.
Where are they?
What bill?
Senate Bill 740, that's a very funny bill.
Do you think they'll keep that alive a little bit longer? I'd like to move out 309 if there's not those here.
You've heard that it's not.
He voted against it.
I'm sorry.
He wanted it amended to take out the tax cut out.
Oh, do you want a motion on this one, Mr. Chairman?
740?
Mm-hmm.
Just a minute. It just depends on how many more times we want to do a referendum. I think this letter, a commitment by the Cemetery Association, probably fulfills everything that the committee wanted to accomplish by introducing
the committee bill.
Oh, kind of.
Yeah.
What is the committee bill?
In a way.
Yeah.
The committee bill says sponsored by the Committee on Local Government Affairs. And in view of that, the chairman moves to table Senate Bill 740. Discussion or call roll?
Aye.
Aye. Yeah. 3090 was what that you were talking about?
No, it was the
3090. I may be in a position to vote for it, but I'm not today.
Is Meeker around?
No.
Not immediately.
You haven't got the horse?
Oh, I didn't know that Mr. Reinmiller was associated with third party. I'm going to withdraw my vote on the motion to table that bill.
That's fair.
We just tabled the bill. You come back and charge your client $50.
George was here earlier waiting to testify, and I
charge
explained the adjourned letter and the intent here solved the problem.
Charging portal to portal and drive slow.
Well, no, it may be a splendid bill, but I'm
you'd like to have more time to consider.
Yeah, there's a whole flock of these bills relating to annexation, and most of them are going the wrong direction, in my view. And I haven't decided yet where this one's going.
David, what I would put is 832. Thank you all.